Thank you all for joining the last week. It is the last week, right? Yeah, last week of our Pathway series, summer Pathway series. So I see a lot of faces in here that have attended this class very consistently. So thank you for that. For the ones that may have missed a week, all of these classes are available on the website. So I know Jesse and I went back and listened to some of the other sessions. So there's a lot of good teaching going on through this Pathway course. So but most of all, thank you for being here today. For those who don't know me, my name's Josh. I serve in a few different capacities here, just kind of wherever needed. So let's get into it. So I'm excited to talk about this topic today. To start off with, serving, serving is not just a good deed or moral obligation or just something fun to do. It's a spiritual discipline that deepens our connection with God. When we serve and align ourselves to God's will, we experience transformation and growth in our relationship with Him. Serving can reveal what's in our hearts. So I have a couple questions today. When we do serve, do we serve for recognition? And this, I'm not looking for answers, so don't answer. But do we serve for recognition? Do we serve for approval? No, I'm good. I got coffee. And I'm hoping if I plan like 15 sips of coffee in, that it'll get us all the way to the 45-minute mark. I've got this fear that I'm going to be done in like 20 minutes. So if I am, it is what it is, and it'll be okay. But yeah, do we serve for approval? And the last question is, do we serve to convince someone how spiritual we are? Or do we serve out of love for God and others? So excited to speak on this topic today, how serving strengthens our relationship with God and others. I know for me, I've served for quite a few years in the church, and it's really brought me closer to God, but it's really brought me closer to others. So I know that through serving, if something was to happen and I wasn't to show up for a couple weeks, I know that somebody that I'm serving with and some of the friends that I've made through serving, they're going to call me and say, "Josh, what's up? Where you at? What's going on?" So it really keeps me connected to the body. And it really has strengthened my relationship with God. So the first thought that I have is that serving strengthens our relationship with God if we allow it to. Serving can be a powerful spiritual experience, but only if we approach it with the right heart and mindset. It's not automatic. You can serve out of obligation, pride, or guilt and walk away unchanged. But when we serve with openness, humility, and a desire to grow, it becomes a space where God can meet us and transform us. So serving is a reflection of God's heart. People may not read the Bible, but they will read your life and your actions. When they see you serve with joy, patience, and love, they catch a glimpse of God's heart. My service in the kingdom becomes something that speaks louder than any of the words that I say. So John 13:14 through 15 says, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." So when we serve others, we mirror the very heart of God. Jesus himself modeled this during his time on earth, and the scripture says that he washed the disciples' feet. It was a very lowly task, saved for those that were much lower than the people with a higher stature. He says, "I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you." So serving is not just an action, it's a reflection of God's love and humility. When we serve, we imitate his nature, and it becomes our way of living out the gospel. So So serving helps us move beyond self-centeredness. So this is a tough one. When we serve, you know, in anything, in our jobs, at church, we can easily make it about us. Thank you. So let's call it like it is. Us human folk, we're naturally self-centered. If we live a life unchecked, we make life all about our comfort and our plans and our preferences. Even our prayers can sound like a wish list. Give me, give me, give me. I want, I want, I want. Which is definitely self-centeredness. Self-centeredness is a spiritual disease. It shrinks our world, stunts our growth, and suffocates our relationships. So what is the cure? Serving is the cure. Serving is God's way of breaking us out of that self-centeredness. It's not optional. It's not a bonus feature of faith. It's essential. If we want to grow, and if we want to love like Jesus, if we want to live with purpose, which is what we're learning about in this kingdom pathway, we have to get over ourselves and start serving others. So Philippians 2, 3, verse 3 through 5, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. So serving shifts our focus from ourselves to others. This verse reminds us that we're not to do anything out of self-ambition or self-promotion. It reminds us to value others, even above ourselves. When we serve without being self-centered, we practice the mindset of Jesus, putting others first and making it about them, not us. When we serve others above ourselves, God refines our motive in our life, and it draws us to even a greater spiritual maturity. Serving helps us not be stagnant in our walk with God. Stagnation is definitely a silent threat. It's not something that happens overnight. It's something that creeps in. It creeps in when we get very comfortable. It creeps in when we're too passive in what we're doing. And it definitely creeps in when we are self-centered and focus on ourselves. When it creeps in, we do go through the motions. We attend church, say a few of those, I want, give me, give me, give me prayers. We don't give God the glory that he deserves. We might read a couple verses every now and then, but deep down, something's missing. Serving is definitely one way to break out of that being stagnant. But today we need to be cautious, because just because we have church work to do doesn't mean that we won't get stagnant. We can all go through the motions. We can go through the motions on the greeting team. We can go through the motions in the media booth. We can go through the motions even behind a pulpit. So just because we have a place and a spot to serve in doesn't mean that we are good to go and we won't get stagnant. James 2:26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. A person that receives but never gives becomes stagnant. This verse says that faith without works is dead. Serving activates our faith, just like working activates my paycheck. So if I only have faith that I'm going to get a paycheck on Friday and I don't show up to work, I'm not going to get a paycheck on Friday, and I'm probably not going to get any more paychecks on any other Fridays after that. So serving keeps us alive and growing, just like my work pays bills, keeps us alive and growing. It allows God to work through us in meaningful ways. And as I serve, without a doubt, I see God move in real ways. God does honor service. He honors my service through through provision, through encouragement, by serving, it helps me not be stagnant as well. It does strengthen my faith as I serve. So my second topic for today, and I'm, like I said, I'm blowing through this, so I probably should take a sip of coffee and wait. So the second topic for today is how serving strengthens our relationship with others. Serving is one of the most powerful ways to begin and deepen relationships. It creates shared experience, and it creates a spirit of unity. When we serve with others, we build trust, we build respect, and we unite and work towards a common goal. So serving fosters unity and humility in our relationship with others. this is just very funny to me. And as I get ready to read it, I just see an army of people together. But nothing screams unity like vacuuming floors or cleaning the toilets at the church. Things like this church work, this serving in the kingdom, is a really good way to separate out the ones who are truly unified from the ones who are just kind of playing the part. It's church work like that that's not seen. It's in the background. So it is a good way to separate out the ones who are pretending. It's also a good way to measure humility as well. So note, when you've got a group of people with toilet brushes in their hands, nobody's worried about who's in charge. We're just worried about, hey, let's get this job done. Let's move on to the next one, right? So Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and gave his life as a ransom for many." Serving brings people together. It breaks down walls of pride and builds humility. The verse reads that that even Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. And we want to be like him. When we serve with one another, we create a culture of unity and mutual respect. True unity isn't just about agreeing with everyone all the time. True unity is about understanding the shared goal, that common goal that we're working towards and advancing the kingdom. It's also about having a humility to die to my own self-interests for the good of the work of the kingdom. Serving teaches us to learn patience with others. This is where I probably could eat up all of my time, but I won't. I know serving has taught me a lot of patience through the years. It teaches you patience, especially like when you call someone and they say, "Hey, I'm going to be there in 5 minutes," but then that was 45 minutes ago, and you're wondering where are these people at, right? We got to have patience in those moments, and we got to understand a little bit. So Ephesians 4:2-3 says, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Serving isn't always easy. It often reveals how impatient we really are, or I really am. This verse encourages us to be humble and gentle. It encourages us to be patient. And it encourages us to love one another. Through service, we learn to extend grace and grow in character. So if I'm late to turn the sound on one day, for a practice or a service, the scripture says that Cody must be completely humble and gentle towards me. So an example, you know, this example, Cody's really growing his character when he's very patient with me and I don't get things right. But on the other hand, if I take advantage of the grace that he's extended to me, then I'm not setting the kingdom up for success, and I'm setting it up for failure. Also, when I take advantage of that grace as well, it damages my credibility and the ability to build what I will talk about in my next point, which is building trust. So serving with others does build trust. Trust is built when people show up, even when it's inconvenient. Serving builds trust in others because it puts people in the trenches together. When I come to church on Sunday mornings, most of the time I get here 2 hours before even the first class begins. So sometimes that leads me to think, man, how inconvenient is this? You know, I'm here, you know, I go through these phases, these ebbs and flows sometimes, being transparent here. But what gets me through is when I pull into the parking lot and I see that Lisa and David Dillard have already been here for probably an hour before I'm here. And they've already got all the signs set out. They've got everything set up for the day. They're running around like crazy, doing a lot of things. So seeing them and knowing that I get to serve alongside them encourages me. Having that trust in the ones that you're serving with will encourage us as we continue to keep pushing forward and serving in the kingdom of God. Trust is built when people show up, even when it's not convenient. Serving builds trust in others because it puts people in the trenches together. I already read that. I'm trying to get to my 45 minutes. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Trust is built through consistent sacrificial service. The verse says, iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. When we serve faithfully, we become dependable and trustworthy, and we strengthen our relationships in the church. So over the last couple weeks, we've learned about serving with purpose and how it transforms us. I encourage you, if you haven't listened to all of the sessions so far, please do go back and do that. So serving, we learned early on with Cody that serving helps us learn to be committed. True commitment is tested when serving is inconvenient, but it's in these moments that our character is shaped. Serving teaches us to show up even when it's hard. Serving allows us to make an eternal impact. The impact of our service goes beyond what we can see. It's got an eternal value. Every act of service, every moment of sacrifice, does plant seeds in God's kingdom. Even though we might not ever see the full harvest of those seeds, it's going to grow. The things that we plant that are in the will of God, it's going to grow and it's going to bear fruit later on down the road, even though we might not be here to see it. Serving helps us to be a part of a team. Serving as part of a team reminds us that we're not meant to do it all on our own. We're part of the body, each with a role to play. When we serve together, we learn collaboration, we learn support, and we learn what true friendship it really is. So, like I said, I'm blowing through this, let's go on to our discussion questions. So, how can we shift our focus from being served to serving others? What are some things that we can do? How can we shift our focus?
Find a need. Ask somebody. There's needs everywhere. There's plenty of opportunities. Sometimes I feel like people think like, oh, they don't need me. It's just ask. You're needed. So I think just step in where needed, and then that usually sparks something, even if it's not in that specific area, but it usually sparks something when you see the joy that you get in serving others rather than
absolutely.
It ignite something in you that you didn't know you had. So
absolutely. Thank you. I think the 80-20 rule reigns true in this, in church, in work, in life, family. Most of the time, 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. So if there's anybody here that thinks that, there's too many people that are on that team or they've got it covered, no, that 20% of the body is carrying 80% of the load. So there is a spot. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think in that, the 80-20 thing, one of the things that I have to, sometimes I'm tired and I don't want to do things. I'm really tired right now, but from decorating. But yeah. Regardless, I have to have the mindset, if I don't do it, who will? Because there will be a hole. Possibly. There was something that I was meant to do. That maybe somebody else, if I don't show up, then they've got to pick up my load. So that's, I think sometimes it is you're thinking, you know, I want to give in to my flesh sometimes and say, I just can't go today or I can't do today. And I mean, even in the grocery giveaway or whatever it is, yes, there may be plenty of people, but the more the merrier. And a lot of times the things that we do, it's not just doing the task, but it's the fellowship as you're doing the task.
Yeah.
That makes
that's
major
good.
Difference.
Absolutely. That fellowship is what helps us get closer to others, but also strengthen our relationship with God at the same time because we are serving. So that's very good. Any other thoughts on this?
I think to Brittany's point, you know, she said if you see a need, do something about it. I remember, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 years ago, there were no trash cans in the stalls in the ladies' bathroom, which is crazy. But there were a few people who would complain about it every service. So like, there needs to be trash cans, there needs to be trash cans. But they weren't taking it upon themselves to just go buy $5 trash cans and put them in. And then one day we show up and there's trash cans because someone saw the need and went and bought them. So even if it's something small like that, if you see a need, just take care of it. And then that's going to help you shift from being served to serving others because you're doing it to better everyone else. So that's just a little example.
It's a very good point. And as you said that, it makes me think that we should replace the word they with I. So instead of when are they going to do that, when am I going to take care of that? Mm-hmm. So... Very good. Next question. How can serving help us extend grace instead of frustration? How can we extend grace in serving instead of frustration when things might not go the way that we think it should go?
Assume positive intent. You don't know, like, if you are mad that, you know, you're... like head usher, you know, was 30 minutes late. You know, you have no idea what he went through that morning. Maybe he, you know, yeah, maybe he was sick. Maybe he lost a friend at work or something. Like, just anything, just trying to say, oh, I wonder what's going on versus, man, he's just sleeping in again. Being curious, I guess, is what I should have said. Like, I wonder what's happened. Versus, I knew it.
Yeah. Especially if it's out of character, you know.
Especially.
You know, serving, you know, we all serve on the same teams. A lot of times we serve with the same people. If something's being done out of character, something that's not normal, we, as the ones who are serving right alongside that person, we need to lean in a little bit. We need to check up with them. We need to see what's going on. And if we've built the relationship that we need to build with them, they shouldn't get offended. You know, we should feel free to check up on people. So, did you have a thought? No? Okay. Anything else on that? That thought.
I'm just going along with what Tony said. Just have empathy, and then you never know. I tell Hyphen, and I used to tell you all the time, you never know what's happening behind the doors. You never know what people are going through. I had a situation, you know, when I was younger, I wasn't in the best house situation, but nobody knew my home situation. Everybody just saw the facade on the outside. And so, you know, we'd come to church and maybe I was drained or I didn't have as much joy because I just watched my mom get like thoroughly abused right before I walked in the doors and nobody knew that. And so I would get complaints from ministers sometimes that were like, you know, why aren't you more joyful? Why don't you show more joy when you show up? Instead of showing that grace of you don't know what's going on. So, yeah, I would just say you never know what's going on behind closed doors. And just because something looks a certain way on the outside doesn't mean that's always the case. So show grace, have some empathy, and pray that you handle the situations the way that you should in those times.
I mean, one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead. No, let's go.
You'll need the grace.
Yes. Yep.
Mm. Yeah. What about giving us ourselves grace?
Amen.
When we might not live up to the bar that we've established for ourselves, that could sometimes be totally unrealistic. And we don't hit that bar or that goal or something like that. Do we come down on ourselves super hard? Do we pull ourselves into our own depression, which can happen? It's happened to me before. I've disappointed myself quite a bit, but I need to extend my self grace as well in those situations. So how does serving teach us faithfulness when unseen? When the work that we're doing is not seen? This is a lot of work that's seen today. But what we may not see is we may not see the entire team that had a hand in putting this together. So, you know, Cheryl, Penny, we know that you guys, I know that you guys, you put a lot of work into this, but I also don't know the other ones that were involved in doing it. So when I see this, and I'm not trying to single you two out, I know you did a lot of work, but when I see this, I think, man, Cheryl and Penny did a lot of work, right? But what about the people that worked just as hard, if not, you know, I don't know what's went on with the decorating, but it looks awesome. But what about those people that might not be seen, the ones that may have been a part of the team that I might not recognize? What about those people?
Well, like Kathy Applin does a lot at home. She cuts out like all these cows and stuff. She cuts out all of those things through the weeks leading up to VBS at home, but nobody knows that.
Yeah. So let's say we're in that situation with, you know, like Sister Applin, you know, working at home, working behind the scenes. How does she remain faithful to continuing to help, even though she's doing something that might not be seen?
Well, Sister Dillard is an excellent example.
Yeah.
You come in this church. Yesterday, I was here in this church, and I can't tell you how many people stop by to do this or stop by to do that. She is here cleaning floors. Not yesterday, I'm talking Tuesday. We were here on a Tuesday. She was mopping the upstairs. Nobody sees the work that she does a lot of times.
Right.
This church magically cleans itself, except that it don't. There's somebody that actually is filling that role.
Yeah.
She never, ever, ever complains. And she never really gets recognized for that on a regular basis because she don't care. She doesn't desire that. She is very, very faithful to this house of God to make sure that it's up to par for all of us.
I think a couple things. Using Lisa as a good example, the example of the trash can just magically appearing. The question is, how does serving teach us faithfulness? Too many times I think people want to, well, I'll do that because they'll see me doing this and I'll get the glory for that. But when we just do something because it needs to be done, like you're walking through the sanctuary and there's trash on the floor, there's nobody in there to see you pick that up. But it's something that needs to be done or whatever. And if we get out of our own egos and just do it, I think the real thing is we do it because we love the Lord. We do it for Him. We're not doing it to be seen. We're not doing it for everybody else. We're not doing it for our own glorification. So I think being faithful in that, God blesses that.
I think another way that you can learn the faithfulness is when you're serving in those unseen capacities, use that time to talk to Jesus. Use that time to pray. You know, Sister Danforth made a post on our CLC Ladies page not long ago about laundry. And, like, you know, as moms, we do a lot of laundry. Josh does all the laundry in our house. But most of the time, moms do the laundry. And, you know, you're folding laundry all the time. But are you using that time to pray over your family, the ones that you're, like, washing the clothes for? And, you know, those clothes are protection for them from an outward appearance. But pray in the armor of God over them. You know, as you fold that shirt, pray for the breastplate of righteousness. As you, you know, fold those pants or that skirt, you know, girth their loins with the truth. And praying those types of prayers as you're doing those mundane tasks. Or, you know, that is being faithful to God because it's taking care of your family and that's what we're called to do. So just using the time that you're doing those unseen tasks to talk to God and pray for those that you're serving.
And it's another good time to be thankful that you've got a family to do laundry for.
True. Yes.
And as I get finished with the laundry, she asked me, did you pray over those? I don't do all the laundry, okay? I do some of the laundry.
I got a scripture, Brother David. Can you hear my share a quick scripture?
Please, please.
It's only three chapters.
Please.
Matthew 6, he's talking about giving to the poor in prayer. Take heed that you do not do your alms before men to be seen, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do stuff, do thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what the right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly.
Very good. Very good. Thank you.
Not to shortchange Courtney, who is in this room, she is also on that cleaning team that mops the floor.
Thank you, Courtney.
Thanks, Courtney. All right. All right, last question. How can we serve in unity and embrace teamwork in ministry? How can we be unified?
Finding joy in the differences and realizing that it's so good that we have so many unique perspectives and unique talents and things like that to be put forth in the ministry that we're working in. You know, as a worship leader, I'm so glad that we have so many different styles of worship leaders and so many different ways of going about things. And I know that I never have the best, you know, way of going about things. And it's awesome to be able to have the opportunity just to go in to the ministry where you have so many different perspectives and finding joy. Don't compare to find flaws, compare to find joy and compare to better yourself, not to try to belittle others or try to better them, I guess.
Very good. Very good. Anybody else?
Have the mindset of unity coming into it.
Yeah.
I'm going to love everybody. I'm going to embrace, you know, if they're down, I'm going to try to lift them up, whatever it may be. Just in my own mind, I have to have a purpose in my mind to say, I'm going to forgive or forget or whatever. It's all about our mindset,
Dad? I'm kidding.
I mean, you said it earlier. Unity isn't agreeing with everyone all the time. It's really striving for that main purpose and getting that purpose accomplished. So understanding what that purpose is when you go in to serve and when you go in, if you're doing a task, if you're decorating for kids takeover week, you know, what is the goal and how can we all get there together, even if there are differences?
Can you embrace like teamwork? I think Brittany's talking about this. You actually can leave quite better than you were to start.
Mm.
Just an example here, like meeting other musicians and singers from different backgrounds. I'll use Zach Bledsoe for example. Very, very particular. And he kind of brings out the best in me.
Okay.
Where I guess, you know, in this particular example, it might seem obvious that I bring out the best in him because I'm technically, you know, his leader or whatever. But honestly, he's changed the way I practice. And so, I don't know, man. It's just powerful. The church is better together.
Amen.
I'd say house-to-house Bible studies. Open your homes to each other for Bible lessons, especially ones that are acknowledging your pastor's authority over the church. I would say outreach. We should, you know, have weekly outreach as a church body, and there should be recovery groups. There should be a place for people that are struggling, you know, through addiction. Come and heal, because that's what this is, a church, and
sure.
That's where the sick come to heal.
Sure, yeah, totally agree. I think our church checks a lot of those boxes.
I think anyone can serve, no matter where your elevation is, right? But sometimes, I haven't worked with you on anything, but sometimes when I work with people, I give them a reason to pray. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh my God, what's he doing now?
I get it. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's my message.
Right. You're contributing, right? You're contributing. Very good. Very good. All right. We're 5 minutes ahead of time. Let's wrap it up. Thank you all. Excited about today. I think something big's happening today, so I'm excited to see what it is. So, all right. Thank you all so much.